Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 314 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, once again, your friend and mine, Jason Linden. How are you, Jason?
I'm well, and I didn't realize that we would be recording the Pi Day episode of Red Leg Nation just a couple of days before Pi Day.
Oh man, we should have waited this week
Go up the day before Pi Day. 314 will go up on 313.
Oh man, listen, let's stop now and let's just do this tomorrow. No, let's not do that. Let's go ahead. We're here. And we're going to talk about Reds baseball and some of the things that we ordinarily would have talked about on the podcast. But obviously, this is a kind of strange time, not just in American sports, but in American society. And we're going to get into that too, right, Jason?
Yes. It's unavoidable. We certainly have to talk about it.
Well, you know, our little topic on this podcast, the Cincinnati Reds, and things that are happening now are going to impact the Cincinnati Reds and those of us who pay attention to the Reds. So we're going to get into all that in just one moment because that is the topic of the day. But first, I wanted to go ahead and just at least briefly touch on some of the things that we would have talked about in an ordinary week, okay? The first
one. Let us touch on ordinary things.
Yeah, fun stuff like just baseball. The first thing was Eugenio Suarez was scheduled to DH in Friday's game of this week, and that was good news. You know, Eugenio Suarez is like nobody heals faster than that guy. He's
Wolverine.
He's like that's what everybody says. Wolverine. Is that like a comic book thing?
It is a comic book thing, Chad. Engage with the culture every now and again.
I like pretending that I don't watch every Wolverine movie. But, he had the shoulder surgery after injuring himself and before the spring training started. And, man, it's crazy that he was actually ready to take some swings. And so, really, the news on him and Senzel's already been playing, been DHing at least. The news is all pretty good in terms of their health and, we were talking about whether they'd be ready for opening day, and almost certainly both of them will be ready for opening day now, right? That's a silver lining, I guess.
To the extent that there is a silver lining, I guess we can take that one, yes. The Reds should be fully healthy by the time opening day happens.
So, again, it's just baseball, but that's a good thing. Another good thing that happened last week was Nick Lodolo. He's last week's first-round pick. It wasn't last week, Jason. It was last year.
No, it was last year.
Yeah, he was the first round pick for the Cincinnati Reds, the left-handed pitcher. And he evidently threw a live batting practice against Nick Senzel, Jose Garcia, and Derek Dietrich. And they all came away like, whoa, this guy is unbelievable. Nick Senzel said, put him in the rotation. He was that good. And the reason I want to talk about this is, everyone wants to compare Lodolo to Mike Leake, who actually didn't go to the minor leagues at all, came straight to the Reds. But in his first spring training, he made the team, basically. Lodolo pitched some last year at the end of the year. And the differences, people keep asking what are the differences between those two. And as far as I can tell, the difference is, well, the Reds actually have a pitching staff now, and so there's no room for Lodolo right now. So there's no reason to push him a little faster like Leake did. But I don't make anything of spring training stats. But Lodolo was great in the minors last year, albeit in the low minors. And he's opening some eyes with his ability in spring training this year. To me, we've talked about the depth of this team, and especially the rotation. And that's another check mark. If he is somewhere close to being ready, that makes this team much, much better because you got to have depth in your rotation, right?
You've got to have depth in your rotation. And also, that looks potentially good for next season when various members of the rotation will be entering free agency. The Reds are going to have to anoint some successors. I think Malley is obviously one of them. Maybe Santian and beyond that, we'll see. But if Lodolo could get himself quickly inserted into that conversation, it would sure be nice.
Yeah, I think right now he's probably, it's pencil. You're not writing in pen, but he's penciled into next year's rotation. I would think he'd have to be, given, of course, things could change depending on what happens this season and obviously injuries. But if the Reds have a couple injuries, I wouldn't be surprised to see him here this year if they have to have. I mean, obviously, Mally would be the first one to get the call, you would think, if someone's injured. But I don't know. I'm getting higher on Nick Lodolo. I'm not getting higher, but I am getting higher on Nick Lodolo.
Yes, I also am getting higher on Nick Lodolo and only Nick Lodolo.
Okay, so you're not getting high on anything else?
No, everything is very sober right now.
Yeah, as well it has to be. Okay, so the other news of the week, and some of this seems, it doesn't feel relevant right now, but it's going to be relevant at some point when we get back into the swing of things in the sports world. But the Reds did, they were among the last teams to make their first round of cuts in spring training. So they sent 11 players over to the minor league camp. And some of the names that are familiar to listeners of the podcast are going to be guys like Nick Lodolo, who was sent down, Tony Santillan, pitcher, Jonathan India, Boog Powell. So there are 11 guys. You can go look them up. Not a single name was unexpected to be moved to minor league camp, but the Reds are starting to kind of shape the roster a little bit, narrow things down, although there's not a lot of open spots on the roster anyway, I guess.
No, there aren't. That took it down to, I think, about 50 in camp. Is that right?
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood. And so I don't know.
Really, you're only talking about there's really only competition for two or three spots on the team.
Yeah.
One bench spot probably, especially with the delay now, and since Alan Suarez for sure being healthy, there's competition for probably one bench spot and, you know, a couple of maybe two bullpen spots, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Reds, let's see, yes, exactly 50. I'm looking at it now. 25 pitchers, 5 catchers, 11 infielders, 9 outfielders. That equals 50.
That does equal 50.
Yeah, so half those guys are going to be going somewhere.
Good mapping, chat.
Oh, man, I was told there'd be no math, but I was ready anyway. So, yeah, but you look at this list of 50, and it's really, I mean, you know, you could cut it down to 27 or 28 easily. It's just those last couple of spots. So, all right. So, you know, obviously we know about what's going on in sports, and we'll talk more about it, but we first started to get a little bit of a hint of the way things were going to go in the sports world early in the week when the Major League Baseball announced that after a conference call with all 30 owners that they're going to be closing off locker room access to the media temporarily. And there was a kind of a little bit of a stir about that. And MLB said it's being done to protect the players, quote unquote. And that was kind of the first hint. And then things escalated from there. And just to give the shorthand version of it, and things may change by the time we finish recording this podcast, because things have been moving so quickly over the last couple of days.
They have been moving extraordinarily rapidly.
Yeah, the NBA has suspended their season. The NHL has suspended their season. All the conference college basketball tournaments were canceled. And now the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments have been canceled completely. And spring sports in most conferences have been canceled. Today as well is reported that Major League Baseball is going to shut things down as well for a while. And the plan, though this is not official, it still has to be approved by ownership, unless I've missed it in the last 30 minutes, is that right now they intend to suspend the first 2 weeks of Major League games and reassess along the way. Around April 8th is when that would come. So that's the plan as of now, is that baseball is kind of suspended as well for, we're talking about almost a month, frankly, if you're talking about April 8th is when that would go through. So, Jason, thoughts?
I mean, you know, it seems like the right and necessary thing to do. This is weird. This is a thing that almost no one who's alive has ever experienced. The closest thing to it, I think, you know, is the Spanish flu, sort of that came around at the end of World War I. And, it's good. I think it's good that the league is being proactive and that everybody seems to be proactive and taking care of things as we should. Hopefully if things continue to be aggressive, it will be one of those things where in a couple weeks, we've got it in hand and we can get back to how things are normal. But, you know, baseball is important and fun. But one of the things, you know, I've talked to people about is my mom is extraordinarily high risk in this circumstance, you know, and I have essentially ordered her and my dad to, fortunately, they're retired people and don't have to go anywhere. And they live out in the country. And I told them that they've got a big freezer of food in it. I was like, you all aren't going out. If you need something, you call me, I'll drop it off. But, you know, and it's one of those things that I think it's what we need to do to protect people. And I think it's good that baseball is also doing that.
Yeah, it's, you know, the sports fan side of us is like, oh, man, you know, this is generally the most fun time of the year for me as a sports fan.
Such a fun time of year normally. It's the end of winter, and, you know, I don't follow college basketball even, but it's hard to not get excited. And then baseball happens, and it's just, gosh, you know, it's normally is so much fun, and it just isn't right now.
It really isn't. It's just a bizarre turn of events. You know, I think I said earlier about when the media was excluded, when that was announced, that was on the first hint. But then after that, when they decided they were going to cancel the official opening day parade in Cincinnati, you're like, whoa, that's a big deal, because that's such a, you know, huge thing in Cincinnati. Yeah. You know, my day job, most of you know what that is. We convened a meeting today because we had, you know, I'm on the health department and some local doctors, and we were talking about what the appropriate plan was to, because we got so many people coming to the courthouse. And often the people that come to the courthouse have to come, because if they don't show up, they get in trouble with the judge. And so we had to talk about what are our procedures going to be to try to protect not just the public, that the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands some days coming through that courthouse, where all the administrative offices in our county are as well, but what to do to protect the employees as well. And it was really kind of eye-opening to listen to them. We really, the number of people that have been diagnosed with this right now, when you consider the scope of the American population, it's minuscule. I mean, it's tiny. But if, and I'm not happy about everything being canceled, but this is it's the right thing to do. It's the exact right thing to do, because if we do this right now, these big gatherings, you can prevent it from, you can't really stop it in its tracks, but you can really slow down becoming a serious, serious, serious problem. And so I don't like it just because I like sports, but it's kind of in some ways a no-brainer to do this with professional sports now, and not just professional sports, college sports, our high school tournaments here in Virginia, basketball tournaments were canceled as well. So, you know, anywhere that you got people gathering more than a couple hundred people, it's so easy for it to run through a population like that. So, and not just those people, but yeah, going back and, you know, taking it to someone else. Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. The sports side of me is a bummer. The rational side of me is like, well, you know, what choice do we have, really? I guess. Does that make sense?
You know, it does. And, you know, hopefully for most of us, and, you know, I include myself in this, it will be a minor, and hopefully for most people, it's okay. There's no sports, whatever. Catch up on whatever show, catch up on whatever book, stay inside. Hopefully everybody stays safe and healthy. But for some people, it's going to be a big deal. And the fewer number of people we can make it a big deal for, then the better off we are.
Yeah, I think so. And now, as we talk about, I do want to say, you mentioned something before we go back to the Reds and how this affects the Reds. Every year, you know, this Goodreads.com, you know, this is a platform for books. Yeah. Every year I do a reading challenge, you know, on there. You can set how many books you plan to read the next year, and you can track whether or not you actually get there or not. Some people like Jason, I'm sure, blow right by their expected numbers. But what my general plan of action has been the last few years I've been doing this is, you know, the beginning of the year up until about opening day, I try to read as many books as I can, because I know it's going to slow down when baseball gets here and I have to do other things to focus on. So there's another silver lining. I get to read more books. I thought you might approve of that.
We'll read some books. I don't know. It's some things are breaking on Twitter as we talk, where it looks like we might be doing some distance learning, at least down here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You know, they haven't announced that in my state yet. Again, I was talking to the people from the health department today, and they're meeting with the schools tomorrow on all this. And, you know, I don't know how you make that work in high school. College is one thing. I don't know how you make it work in high school. So,
We'll see, or not. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's kind of a different question than what we're here to talk about today. So what we're going to talk about next is the Reds, and we've already talked a little bit about how this affects you know, Suarez and Senzel coming back, and that's great for them. But I don't know. Does it? Everybody's really excited about this Red season, and. Is this the one thing that could have happened to really just make everybody like, oh, we're that good. You're ready to have so much fun. I don't know if I'm asking that question right, but what's the public response going to be to this? We're trying to be rational about why all this has to happen, but what's the public response going to be amongst the average Reds fan to this?
You know, from what I've seen, it's one of two reactions. It's either, okay, yeah, fine. I mean, it sucks. Like, of course, the 1 year the Reds spend, this is what happens. But the right thing to do. And then other people are less reasonable. Let's just say that. And the public reaction is going to be disappointment. Hopefully, we do get to a point where we get to play at least most of the baseball season, you know, something along the lines of like 1995, you know, where that was, what, 144 games?
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice. If it ends up being less than that, it ends up being less than that. But, you know, let's just get some kind of baseball season going and maybe see what happens.
For real. I mean, you know, there's going to be a season. I mean, there's going to be a season of some length, I guess. And we have a good viewer mail question here that is along these lines that I want to go ahead and jump into. Again, this is from patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support this podcast. Kevin Jacobson asks, if the start of the season is pushed back or the season is shortened, both very reasonable things to do, how much more important is it for the Reds to start well and not dig themselves into a 3-18 type hole? That was the one thing I was thinking about in terms of a shortened season is, man, the Reds really won't be able to afford it. It'll depend on if it's 144 games, that's still a long season. It's still time to work your way out of it.
The shorter the season is, the higher the percentage of your bad start is to the season.
Yeah. So it's extremely important, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that already. And just like, I mean, for Reds fans' mental health, we just need them to win like half of their first 10 games.
Like, yeah, just like tread
like
water.
5-5 a week and a half in, please.
Yeah. I really, especially with the way this is going to start late, the fact that the thought that the Reds could start, you know, 2-8 or something. 2-6, something like that. It's just too much for me to handle because that'll be a real, you talk about people being negative about the Reds, that will cause them to go off the deep end. So, but yeah, you're right, Kevin. You know, it's much more important for the Reds to start well. If the Reds start 3-18 in a, you know, 135 game season, they're done. They're not really done, but they're close to being done.
Yep.
So, let's go ahead and run through some more of these viewer mail questions because most of them are about the virus and about, you know, the Reds and the virus together, I guess. Boy, I'm having trouble today. I do want to say you mentioned 1995. 1995, the season was shortened. 1990, there was a lockout and the season started late. Now, what do those two seasons have in common, Jason Lindham?
The Reds made the playoffs.
The Reds won their division, played in the postseason both those years. So clearly that's what's going to happen this year. Derek Moser asks, and again, this is at patreon.com/redlegradio. How are you two planning to celebrate opening day now that the parade is canceled and it's very likely the Great American Ballpark gates will be closed to the public? I think he submitted that question. It was early in the day today before the news had come out that it's going to probably be pushed back. At some point, there will be an opening day. It's not going to be the same as the regular Cincinnati opening day. What did you think about the idea? Did you ever see it as a realistic scenario? And again, we're not scientists, but and I don't know. I can't say. But the thought that they would just play the game in front of no one? Kind of a weird thought. I didn't think that was ever really a real option.
I didn't know if it was a real option or not, but I did have a fun thought about it. And it kind of went off of a Joey Votto quote of him saying he would absolutely play in front of no fans, which is just that, you know, in that circumstance, I could imagine Joey Votto just having an out of his mind season because of all the players who can't get themselves up for the game and aren't really trying hard. And so Joey, who just never takes an at bat off ever, further takes advantage of that and just has just a monster season. It was a thing I could imagine if they did end up playing a bunch of games in front of no one. So I, you know, whether or not that would ever really happen, I don't know. You know, everything moved so fast this week that I barely had time to process what might happen until it was something else was happening, you know?
Yeah. That's an interesting thought that I hadn't considered. Another way to give Joey Votto an advantage, you know, I don't know. We had talked about the NCAA tournament initially announced they were going to play without fans, basically. Just essential personnel. And I was thinking, boy, that's going to be odd to watch, you know, because you'd be able to hear what the referees are saying to the coaches and vice versa. And it's just a really strange thing. I'm not sure how they can make that happen. But with baseball, I think probably what they're going to do is they're just going to keep it suspended until it's safe to open the parks back up for everybody. And I think there will be an opening day celebration whenever the first Reds game is my guess.
There will be some kind, and hopefully an opening day celebration in a much better environment, you know, like an environment where everybody can genuinely come out and enjoy themselves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, big sigh of relief, kind of. Everyone is over some of the anxiety that's going around right now, and at least to some extent, and enjoy themselves. There's going to be Reds baseball at this point. There's no reason to believe there won't be Reds baseball at some point, and maybe some point soon, but we just got to get there first. Joe Farsing asks, as he typically does, Lance Bass or Kevin Bass or Largemouth Bass? Lance Bass, Kevin Bass, Largemouth Bass. Now, why Bass this week? Why?
Why anything ever? Why?
So Lance Bass was in one of these, I don't know, like NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys or something like that.
Right.
He's in one of those boy bands. And Kevin Bass played for the Astros back in the day. And a largemouth bass is, Jason and I are both huge fishermen.
So, you know, I'm not a fisherman, but my parents do have a small lake, so.
There you go. I'm not a fisherman either. Do you have any preference there on this ridiculous question?
I'm going to go with largemouth bass because, I mean, we're stockpiling food right now, right?
There you go. I'm going to go with Kevin Bass, but only because back in the day when Chris Berman thought it was cute to make up nicknames for everyone, that was his nickname on SportsCenter for Kevin Bass. It was Kevin Largemouth Bass. And Kevin, I remember the story, Kevin Bass complained and he changed it to Smallmouth Bass. It's a true story.
That's a good story.
To the lighter side of the coronavirus stuff, and I'm not sure if there is a lighter side, but am I the only one? And if not, I'm going to infect you all. That's a really poor choice of words. But I'm going to cause this same thing to go into your brains, and I'm sorry. COVID-19, right? That's the name of this virus. COVID-19. Am I right?
Yes.
How come when I read that in my head, I read it like, "Come on, Eileen." COVID-19.
They're not alone in no one is alone in that. I also have done that.
COVID-19. I'm never gonna hear that song again without thinking about this. Well, okay. Sorry if you hadn't thought about that, but that's now in your head. One more from Joe Farsing. Since the coronavirus apocalypse is upon us, what household staple is the first thing you're going to hoard? I'm going with peanut butter, he says.
I mean, peanut butter is not bad. I got a lot of pasta right now.
Ooh, pasta. Pasta. I'm going with bourbon.
Oh, Chad, right answer. You know, I didn't even think of that one because my house is never without an appropriate supply of bourbon, living where I do.
Yes, Kentucky, they like their bourbon in Kentucky.
They do. They do. You would be amazed at the bourbon selection in the wine store down the street from me.
Really? Well, if you'd ever invite me over, I would be able to go see that.
We don't take your kind here, Chad.
That's true. Matter of fact, I was thinking this podcast. I like you and I like talking to you, but man, now more than ever, I'm happy that I don't have to actually be in the same room with you.
Remote podcasting, the way to go.
It is the future. Social distancing. Yeah. Matt Sheary asks, ironically, since what we just talked about, he asks, what's your favorite adult beverage? Have we already answered that?
I think we have already answered that. I mean, I will toss in also that I do enjoy a nice Pinot Noir.
Certainly. Then we're going with wine. Pinot Noir would be my top choice as well. Do you have a specific favorite type of bourbon?
Yeah, my favorite, I like pretty much anything from the Buffalo Trace Distillery. The one I tend to keep around when I can find it, it's become more popular recently, is called Eagle Rare. Mm-hmm. Used to have no problems finding it, but now it's one of those that's gotten trendy and it kind of flies off the shelves as soon as it, yeah.
Yeah, I've never had Eagle Rare. I do have a bottle of it that's never been opened yet because someone recommended that to me. I have a bottle of Angel's Envy sitting here. That's really probably my favorite bourbon.
See, we disagree on that. I am not a big Angel's Envy fan.
Oh, man. It's you're allowed to disagree with me, Jason.
Do you know their distillery is essentially across the street from Slugger Field, right?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, it's easy walking distance.
Hmm. I have to go to some Bats games if they play any, because, again, the minor leagues announced they're starting late as well. Yeah. My story about the Angel's Envy is I had a bottle of it sitting here that my brother had gotten me for Christmas. He used to tend bar, so he knows some things about this type of thing. He said, you need to try this. And I was like, okay. So I had it. Well, one night, a couple of Marches ago, my alma mater, the University of Virginia, their basketball Cavaliers lost a first round game in the NCAA tournament. This wasn't widely reported, but you may remember it, Jason.
I might remember something about that, maybe just slightly.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty good night to open up that bottle and just pour me one drink, you know, after the game. And like, as everyone was mocking me on the Twitters. And so then after that, it kind of sat there. And I kind of, you know, I'd see it every once in a while. I'd be like, you know, I can't take another drink out of that bottle. I just can't do it. That's it. That's the UMBC bottle. And so 1 year later, it was still just sitting there. 1 year later, when Virginia defeated Purdue in a ridiculous game to advance to the Final Four, that's the next time that I poured another one out of that bottle. Right. So,
well, good. The curse had been banished.
The curse was lifted. So anyway, that's my UVA story.
That's some
sorry.
On your part, Chadwick.
Is it can I go around bragging that UVA is defending champs for two straight years?
I mean, that depends. Did the Reds win the NL Central in 1994 or did they not?
Oh, well, okay. See, I've always said that they did.
I know that was in the East. They always wanted to claim like 8 million consecutive ones, and I always want to be like, 1994, Montreal.
The Reds should hang a banner for 94, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should have one for 81, too.
Yes, absolutely. And they had a huge banner. And I think we may have gotten a picture of that for the Big 50, but the best record in baseball banner. I think it's at the Hall of Fame, actually, now. So, all right, patreon.com/redlegradio. Andrew Scott Wills asks, Dear Red Leg Nation Radio, how much coffee do you consume per day? Sincerely, depressed Reds fan who had to cancel his trip to Goodyear because of COVID-19. Yeah, Andrew was planning on going to Goodyear and just had to nix that. I hate that because I've never been to Goodyear. I'm dying to go to spring training. Yeah, we need to do that at some point. How have we never been to spring training? How much coffee
do you have to work? So
yeah, that's right. So I have to work for a living, right? Yeah. How much coffee do you consume per day, Jason?
Minimum of 20 ounces in the morning. My little travel mug holds 20 ounces, and I always make kind of exactly that much. And I don't know, sometimes I'll have another bit in the afternoon. It varies. I don't always have afternoon coffee, but I always have a good healthy serving in the morning.
I'm not a regular coffee drinker.
Really?
Yeah, probably once or twice a week I will, but it's not an everyday thing. And I'm depending on, you know, if it's cold outside, I like to have a coffee with me. And I'll do about the same as you, fill up my travel mug. And then, but that's usually it for me for the day. I like it, but, you know, don't love it.
I enjoy myself coffee. I like a good fancy coffee drink now and again, too.
Really? You like the fancy coffees?
I do. It's Louisville is a coffee town.
I thought it was a bourbon town.
It's a bourbon and a coffee town. We have a lot of good fancy coffee shops here, and you got to enjoy it.
Well, at some point you're going to invite me to Louisville and show me all this cool stuff. You will invite me someday, won't you?
When do you think the season will start, Chad?
When do I think...
You are welcome anytime. I just had to do the silence because it was fun.
Yeah, I know. It's always fun. I didn't like being on the other side of it. It's usually me giving you the silence. So. Rich Thompson asks, hash brown viewer mail, with the COVID-19 virus being a stark reality, and if the MLB season proceeds with empty or closed stadiums, how do you think this will affect the Reds in particular? Oh, we kind of already talked about that. If the season does move forward, do you foresee David Bell managing the team any differently? And I presume that means any differently if it's empty stadiums. My opinion is I don't think that's going to happen, Rich. Jason had clearly already thought about how it would affect the Reds, especially Joey Votto. But would you see David Bell managing the team any differently because it's an empty stadium? I guess there aren't people screaming at him for doing dumb stuff. I don't know. I don't think he'd manage any differently. Do you?
No, I mean, I can see pitcher usage being different with a shortened season.
Yeah, with a shortened season, I could see some changes around the edges, I guess. But, you know, I don't anticipate him managing the team differently if it were empty, the stadium, than it was. But depending on how much shorter the season is, yeah, you know, you might be able to be a lot more aggressive with your better relievers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you're really often with them, you're trying, I mean, you know, days in a row matters, but also you're just trying to manage the season load. And if the season load is artificially lessened, then, you know, those sort of sixth and seventh guys in the bullpen should be pitching less.
Right, yeah. And interesting thought. This is not at all related to Rich's question, and thank you for the question, Rich. But what about this idea? When the Reds make it to the postseason, Nick Lodolo's in the bullpen for the postseason run.
Oh, I can absolutely see it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw someone, I don't know where I was listening to this, it might have been Trent Rosecrans, but making a comparison to like when David Price first came up and he, you know, he was in the bullpen that first run. So I could really see that happening. So anyway, I don't know. Philip Razor asks, are you ready?
No, I'm never ready for anything that hack says.
Okay, let's move on to the next question.
Bit Twitter troll.
Philip Razor asks, who do you guys like better, me or Coop? So you have to be on the Reds Twitter to know about Philip and Coop, perhaps, or here on the podcast. We've talked about both. Philip is just, he's the guy that thinks that he brings the podcast crowds wherever he goes. Coop has his own podcast, The Hunt for Reds October, which you should not listen to with your grandmother in the car. But you should listen to.
A mistake that Chad absolutely made.
Oh, it was not a good time. It was not a good time. So who do you like better? Philip Razor or Coop?
Pass.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say Coop because it will upset Philip. And it'd be fun
to
watch him.
That's a good point. Yeah. See, I'm going to go with Coop also because it will make Phil mad. But if I said Phil, then Coop would just think that was like a confirmation of his brand.
That's true, actually, because he kind of tries to make people dislike him sometimes. But I was like, Coop also said something nice about me on his last podcast, so I'm going to have to go with Coop here, yeah. Sorry, Philip. Woo the Reds asks, you ready for a question from Woo the Reds, who I can't convince to use his real name, so I don't have to say Woo the Reds every week?
Woo us with the Reds.
Oh, man. His question is this. Would you, even for 10 minutes, watch a live YouTube stream of the Reds games being simulated on MLB The Show with them occurring at the date and time the regular season games were originally scheduled? It's an idea I'm kicking around as a way to give us all some kind of baseball. So the idea here is Reds games are being suspended for at least a couple weeks. The new MLB The Show game comes out on PlayStation 4 this week, I think, sometime soon. And Wu is suggesting that he simulate those games, live stream them on YouTube or Twitch or wherever the kids are live streaming these days, and see how it goes. What do you think? Would you watch that stream?
I would not.
I would probably dip into it to see how it's going, but I would imagine there might be a lot of people who would watch something like that.
I would look at the box scores.
Yeah, I'd like to see the box scores.
I'm not watching. I'm reading a book or watching a show that I want to watch, but yeah.
Would you watch, Jason, would you watch a live stream of me playing Strat-O-Matic baseball, rolling the dice and playing that with the games that the Reds were supposed to play?
Only in your Reds onesie.
What do you think I'm wearing right now?
I'm just saying. I've got rules. I've got standards.
I would probably watch Wu's live stream, at least a little bit, certainly, and I'm sure that more people would.
I'm sure there are people who would, and I think that that's actually a fairly decent idea. I'm just not one of those people.
Right, because you gotta read a book, like you've never read a book before.
So many books to read, Chad. And, like, I have a whole room full of books, and I've read most of them, but not all of them. I got work to do.
Jason, I thought you had read all the books.
It's impossible to read all the books, sadly.
But you're trying.
I failed.
You're trying, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you like that idea, go find Wu on Twitter.com where he asked that question and tell him that he needs to tell us his real name so I don't have to keep saying that ridiculous name. But tell him what you think about that idea. All right, let's see what we got here. At Twitter.com/RedLegRadio, Petros Wills, at Petros Wills asks, Hash Brown Viewer Mail, with COVID-19 spreading, will you suspend actual letters from your actual viewers to help reduce the spread? I think you'd only be doing your part. Now, that's a pretty good idea by old Pete Wills there, don't you think?
Should we go maybe now with just audio files that's listener mail from actual listeners?
Oh, no, because they're viewers.
They can't see me.
So you think.
Wow. Sorry, let me go get some duct tape and tinfoil.
Thank you. As always, these questions are actual letters from actual viewers, and yeah, I think that we would be doing our part to reduce the spread of this virus. So I'm with you on that one, Pete. You know, Jason, this is kind of a strange week to be talking about the Reds, and I'm not sure how it's going to be the next little bit with everything suspended, and I don't know. Are we going to have things to talk about? We always find things to talk about all winter long, but there's stuff happening all winter long.
Yeah.
It's a really strange time to be a baseball fan because there's not going to be anything going on. And really there are other things to be focusing on as well. So how do we get through these next few weeks, Jason?
I don't know, but I kind of feel like also we should maybe find a way. I think everybody's going to need a little bit of fun, a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of goofiness. So maybe we can find some ways to be goofy periodically as need be as these next few weeks pass and hopefully things start to turn around and get a little bit better. But we'll see.
Yeah, and if you have any ideas, reach out to us at Red Leg Radio or at Jason Linden. I'm at Dotson C on Twitter. And if you got some ideas for the podcast for the next few weeks when there's really nothing going on with the Reds you would expect, let me know. Because we're still gonna try to be here every week. We always do, and I don't know. We need something creative to do in the meantime. Maybe it's just talking about Wu's live streamed games. Maybe that's what we'll have to do and analyze how the Reds started in his alternative universe. Jason, I'm kind of at a loss here. There's really we wanted to do a podcast and wanted to talk about how this affects the Reds. Although not how it affects the Reds is not that important, but that's what we talk about here. Sports are important. Sports are a valuable part of our society, but they're also, right now that maybe not, maybe for the first time, sports has taken a lead, not the first time, but taken a lead on doing something that's really going to, help our society. And I'm okay with it. I don't like it, but I'm okay with it.
It does really feel like all of the sports leagues canceling things has kind of pushed for more action on like a lower level, which is good, I think.
Yeah, once that started happening, we started seeing colleges and high schools and things like that. So it's, you know, sports obviously has been a driver in other areas as well. I think back to Jackie Robinson. It can be a positive thing for society. And maybe this is it. And maybe it helps us get past this thing quickly. And then we can all go back to our fun and games, or the dumb stuff we talk about all the time. That's the hope.
Yes.
All right. Jason, we're going to have to end it there. It's a short one, but I think we're done.
Yeah. So, what else can be said?
Yeah. Any final thoughts about anything related to any of this?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you know, you can subscribe to the podcast. You know how, everywhere you find your podcast, we're there. If you subscribe, again, it's free to subscribe. Please do, you know, go and leave us a rating and a review if you can. That always helps other people find us. We always say, if you like us, talk about us. That's the best way for other people to find us. Tell your friends about the podcast. We are going to continue to try to have some fun. And in the coming weeks, we are going to make an active effort to be back to the sort of goofy, fun podcast that we try to be always. You can support us at patreon.com/redlegradio. If you want to toss a couple bucks our way, we do some special things, including our Slack channel, and which is a lot of fun. And had some new people come into the Slack channel this week, so appreciate that. Those guys, not guys, but those of you that joined up and continuing to grow, and I just love it, you know. And I'm still extremely optimistic about what this season's going to hold for the Cincinnati Reds. So for Jason Linden and Dexy's Midnight Runners, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.